everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and Andrew Farley. If it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel live, and you can be a part of it. If you have a question, or if there's something you'd like to talk about, call now. The lines are open at 844-322-2742. That's the number for the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Call now, because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
844-322-2742 is the number to call. We would love to hear from you on today's broadcast. Richard Piper is here. Andrew Farley is here. And we would love to hear from you. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. Well, Sunday's coming, folks, and we're going to be celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the victory over sin and death that he accomplished for us, and the victory that is now ours through faith in him. And that's a glorious day. But before that day could occur, there was a dark day, the darkest day in human history. But it was punctuated with this victory cry that Jesus made from the cross. We see it in John chapter 19, starting in verse 28. It says, after this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, and I love that phrase, was now finished, he said, to fulfill the scripture, I thirst. And a jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. His work was done, folks, as far as sin was concerned. Mm-hmm. The debt had been paid. We have forgiveness of sins as a result of this. I think the three greatest words, maybe other than he is alive, in the English language or in any language, because it really talks about the victory that we now have in Jesus and the forgiveness that we have through his shed blood on the cross. It's a marvelous saying, isn't it?
Oh, I love it. And when you think about the finished work of Jesus Christ, you first gravitate toward that forgiveness and you say, wow, having my sins taken away, having my sins remembered no more, that is a really big deal. And there's even more. It's through the work of the cross that the law is fulfilled and we get a freedom from sin and a freedom from law. It's the final sacrifice. There's a freedom to live in God's grace. Of course, that's, ultimately fulfilled in the resurrection and inspired by Christ's resurrection life in us. But the cross is such an important aspect of what Jesus accomplished. I mean, Paul calls it the word of the cross when he speaks of this message that we're celebrating today. It's finished. Well, your freedom from guilt has been accomplished. Your freedom from sin's power has been accomplished. You died to sin. You died with Jesus, crucified with Christ, Galatians 2:20, Romans 6:6, your old self died with him. So, we're celebrating the death of Jesus this week in particular, but we're also celebrating our death with him. And that's what causes us to be able to say we're born again. We say that all the time, guys. I'm born again. I'm a born again believer. She's a born again Christian. He is. Well, how did you get born again unless you first died? The old life had to die. The old heart, the old self, the old desires at your core, the sinful person you were in Adam was crucified with Jesus. And so that too is finished. You're not dying to sin. It's finished. You're dead to sin. So when that thought comes at you, you can say, I'm dead to that. I'm dead to that. I'm dead to that. You don't have to say, I'm 42% dead to that. I hope I grow into it. Bob, it's just the cross is so big. I mean, there's so many aspects to celebrate here. Freedom from guilt, freedom from sin, freedom from who I used to be in Adam, freedom from the law. I mean, you just got to look at the word of the cross and say, wow.
Absolutely. That the jail cell has been opened. The door has been unlocked, will never be locked again. It's saying, walk out. go free in Jesus Christ. I've said this a number of times. You know, the good news is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And no one in their right mind would begin a good news story with death as the lead, as the first chapter.
Especially of the hero.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But that's the way it is.
Yeah.
Resurrection cannot occur unless death occurs first. Jesus died. He was raised. You and I die in Christ. And that's why so many people, I think, struggle with the gospel. They want to hang on to their old life. They want Jesus to come into their old life and make that old life a little bit better, to raise it up to the next level and then raise it up to the next level. So they don't want to let go. They don't want to die in Christ. But before good news, you can truly experience new life, you have to die in Jesus. And because he finished the work, that death is not going to be the final story for you. It's going to end in resurrection life as well. It is finished. Rejoice, folks. Your sins have been forgiven. You are a forgiven person, totally righteous in Jesus Christ. It is news that will make you shout from the rooftops, hallelujah. Well, this is Basic Gospel. Andrew Farley is here. Richard Pfeiffer is here. We have plenty of open lines for you right now at 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. We have a wonderful resource for you this month. It is called Proof, the Resurrection. Skeptics out there are always pointing to the resurrection. I mean, it's crazy talk to think that somebody could come back from the dead and live forever, never die again. But that's exactly what happened to Jesus. That's exactly what's going to happen to us when we receive resurrection bodies. The mortal is going to put on immortality. And we want you to be anchored to that truth and to understand the evidence supporting, underscoring the reality of the resurrection. And we want you to experience the reality of the resurrection in your life. So go to basicgospel.net, click the donate button, and be sure and request your copy of Proof, the Resurrection. And we'll send that CD to you as quickly as we possibly can. Well, for now, it's Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher here, Richard Pfeiffer, Andrew Farley. We have a number of calls that we're going to get to today. Mm-hmm. If you would like to be one of those, call right now, 844-322-2742.
I thought this afternoon we'd start with this little thank you from a guy named Jared. A friend of mine told me about Basic Gospel a couple of months ago. I've become a regular listener and wanted you guys to know that what you do is truly a blessing to many. Thanks so much. And then he adds this personal note to Bob. Go Dogs. He's from Athens, Georgia.
Go Dogs indeed.
So
I like him.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
So thank you, Jared, for giving us that bit of encouragement. I mean, it's just so awesome when people do that. So here's a call from Jay.
Hi, my name is Jay, and I'm calling to ask a question about, I'd lost my dad a month ago here in San Jose, California. I lost my mother today, actually. And I was wondering, based on the death and based that they're both people of faith, are they going to meet each other? Is my dad going to be able to see my mother here a month after he passed? And are they going to reunite in that soon of a time, or is there a process that they go through before they get to see one another and be with each other through eternity in the kingdom? Again, I'll look forward to hearing the answer on that. Appreciate it. And I just hope that they're together. Thank you.
Well, Jay, thank you so much for that question.
Yeah.
And certainly our hearts go out to you and the loss of both your dad and your mother recently. But this is something that people talk about or ask about all the time. What has happened to my loved ones once they die? Will they be reunited? And certainly, Andrew and Richard, the Word of God has some very comforting words to that question, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we're told that we will certainly, see people again, and that's what Paul comforts the Thessalonians with, for example. As far as marriage goes, guys, I mean, you know, God designed marriage in the Garden of Eden to begin there for the purpose of filling the earth with other human beings, and I don't see that being needed in heaven. And that's why if you pop over to Matthew 22, he says at the resurrection, people will neither marry nor be given in marriage. They will be like angels in heaven. So there is this idea that there's no need for procreation in heaven. There's no need for people to be married or be given in marriage in heaven. But as far as reuniting and seeing loved ones who are in Christ, I mean, that is absolutely the comfort that God gives us, that this is not the end, that when the body turns to dust, that's not the end of the story for us. And what an appropriate question to be talking about, Bob, on the week that we're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus, because part of the answer, the hope that we have for this gentleman's parents and us, ourselves, anybody we know that's in Jesus, I mean, we have this hope of resurrection and being reunited with those that we love and care about and want to see again. So, you know, I would say the answer is a definitive yes, that we will gather together again with these new resurrected bodies in heaven. And that is a sure hope that the gospel gives us through the resurrection.
Yes, indeed. So, Jay, rest assured that because your parents are in Christ, the moment they breathed their last, they were immediately absent from the body and present with the Lord. When he returns, they're going to be there with him. If we're here and you are here at that moment, you're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye, and you're going to rise up and be with them, and we're all going to be with one another. It's this great family of God, that Christ's blood has purchased and joined together. And we are connected, not just here and now, but forever. So, Jay, I hope those that answer by Andrew comforts your heart and the words of Scripture as well. So thank you so much for your call. We appreciate it.
Yeah. So we got another call from Nancy.
Hello, this is Nancy. The question that I have is, when did you find the wife's role if her husband is doing something wrong? At what point does she cover for him, or what part does she expose him? Wife is supposed to cover for their husband at a certain point, but I don't know what that point is. And I can use some help. Thank you.
Yeah, well, that's an interesting question. It's not one that we get that often, but you see two people in a marriage relationship and one person has either witnessed something that is wrong or maybe even illegal. Who knows what she's talking about there, whether it's a personal sin within the marriage or a sin, you know, a sexual sin or something like that versus something that's an illegality. We really don't know any details on that, but what I would say is that Galatians chapter 6 speaks to this. It says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who walk by the Spirit should restore that person gently, but watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Now, she may say, there's no way I'm going to be tempted. I'm not tempted to do that at all. But the point of this passage is just a spirit of humility. And so the reason that you would approach your husband about this would be out of care for him and in humility, just expressing love for him and wanting the best for him. Guys, as you look at people over the years that you've helped, it is really hard to help somebody that doesn't want help. And so we have to proceed delicately and gently. And that's what this passage says, to restore that person gently. Restore. What could that mean? Well, restore them to their senses because they're acting out of their mind. And that's what happens when a Christian is in denial about something, justifying something, walking after the flesh and saying, well, it's no big deal, or God's okay with it, or, you know, nobody's going to get hurt, therefore it's fine. Well, those sort of trenches, you start digging those trenches or building up those highways, or even they start out as a little rabbit trail. Next thing you know, it's a It's a single lane road and then a three lane highway and ultimately a super highway. And, you know, it all starts with decision making and choosing denial over reality. So thank God that we have each other and that we can do the loving thing and in love and in gentleness approach somebody who's struggling with something, who's caught in something, and allow the Holy Spirit to be our discernment and our attitude in the way that we talk with them. So I would say, rather than going to a third party, the first step is always go straight to the source and try to restore them in a spirit of gentleness as you trust the Lord for those words.
Yeah, I think that's really good, good, wise counsel there, Andrew. And you know, relationships are built on honesty. They're built on truth. And, you know, the idea of covering, you want to cover as far as public exposure is concerned. But within the private relationship, you want to see things for what they really are. And if somebody's trying to cover up and to hide something from you, you know, that's not going to be good for the relationship. So, go and talk about it and get it out on the table and then you can deal with it. So that's the way to handle it. So thanks, Nancy. We sure appreciate it. Thanks for your call today. This is Basic Gospel. Andrew Farley is here. Richard Pfeiffer is here. As I said, we have a wonderful resource that we want to put in your hands. It's our way of saying thank you this month for your gift to Basic Gospel. It is a CD that Richard and I did on the resurrection. There's ample evidence that supports the resurrection. He actually was raised from the dead. Jesus died on the cross. He was buried. And on that third day, he came to life. And there's ample evidence that says this story is true. It's not a made-up story. It's not a figment of somebody's imagination. It is true. It is historical fact. And we want you to explore that evidence and really come to a solid place in your life knowing that Jesus is alive. So go to basicgospel.net, click on the donate button, and follow all the instructions there, and be sure to request your copy of Proof, Evidence of the Resurrection, and we'll get that to you as quickly as we possibly can. We do have some open lines at 844-322-2742. Call right now, and we would love to talk with you. In the meantime, we have this call from Rolo.
My name is Rolo from Utah, and my atheist friend said that there's no foundation to claim that the Bible is the Word of God or good in general outside of the Bible, and the book saying that itself is true or good is not enough evidence. You could touch on that and help me explain that to my atheist friend. That would be great. Thank you.
Yeah, well, guys, I mean, first of all, Rolo, the thing that comes to mind for me is be careful concerning arguments. I don't know that I have ever argued someone into a relationship with Jesus. And so when we talk about the Bible, that's fine and good and important. But always, you know, even as we're talking about the death and resurrection today, always get that focus back to Jesus. Who do you think Jesus is? What do you think that he was here for? What was he seeking to accomplish? His identity and his finished work can always be the central focus of any conversation with an unbeliever, with an atheist. But as far as, you know, God's word, I just say, well, let's take the New Testament, for example. I mean, some of the most known writings throughout history of well-known Greek philosophers and things like that. I mean, we're lucky to have two copies of anything that somebody's written. I mean, the numbers are like 2 and 10 and 20, and then you get over to almost 6,000 copies of the New Testament manuscripts, and it's just unreal. I mean, the veracity of God's Word, the accuracy of what was originally written, the evidence is there in spades. And yet, you know, an atheist, to someone who in this day and age says they don't believe in God or they don't believe the Bible is accurate or something like that, they've had their heads filled with all kinds of things, whether it's a Dan Brown book or something from a skeptic that's on a website somewhere. I mean, they've just been inundated left, right, and center with all kinds of garbage that's not accurate. So you might want to do a little bit of research on the manuscripts that are available and the evidence behind why the Bible is the Word of God. That would do some good. But also, just remember, in conversations, really, keep the focus on Jesus Christ, on his death, on his resurrection, on his identity, and his finished work. And I think as long as you are there and talking about what Jesus means to you personally, it will be time well spent.
Yes, indeed. And, you know, we don't have to prove the validity of the Word of God. It proves itself. And when you're telling your story, let the Word of God do its work in a person's life. My friend Larry Taunton had a friendship with Christopher Hitchens, and they took a road trip together. And Christopher Hitchens is a famous atheist, and he argues against the Bible, against all religions, and he thought all religions were nonsense. But Larry had this opportunity to take a road trip with them. And while they're together in the car, Larry's driving and Christopher is in the passenger seat. And Larry says, "Why don't you open up the Bible and read John chapter 1? And so he opened it up and read it out loud. And then he looked at Larry and he said, "I had no earthly idea this was in the Bible. I had no earthly idea what John said." And it's not like he came to faith or anything, but the Word of God started doing its work. So the Word is sharp. You know, stick somebody with it, and they'll see that it's got power indeed. So, Rollo, thanks for your call. We certainly appreciate it. We have a quick question from one of our Facebook watchers. She wants to know about Matthew 24. Verse 14. Well, I think it's that. It's talking about he who endures to the end will be saved. What in the world is Jesus talking about there?
Yeah, well, the only way that we can endure is through Jesus. He's the one, the Bible says, he's the one who's able to make us stand. Paul tells us that he who began a good work in us will carry us on to completion. So if we endure, it's because of the blood of the Lamb, which we're celebrating right now on this broadcast, and this Friday in particular. It's about the blood of the Lamb. It's about the word of our testimony concerning Jesus Christ. We don't endure because we're particularly strong or stronger than the person next door. We don't endure because we're more committed or more dedicated. We endure because Jesus makes us stand. He is able to cause us to endure forever, and that's because of the power of his indestructible life, the very life that we celebrate on Resurrection Day.
Yeah, well, thank you so much, Andrew. Thank you, as always, for joining us on Basic Gospel. Richard, thank you for being here as well. And thank you to all of our listeners for allowing us to be a part of your day on this Wednesday before Resurrection Sunday. We'll be back tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll be talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the historical evidence for that. We'll also be talking about what the resurrection of Jesus Christ means to you personally. So join us for tomorrow's broadcast. It will be fantastic. It's the victory that we can enjoy and experience through faith in Jesus Christ. Well, this is Basic Gospel. It is a listener-supported broadcast. We have a great number of people all around the country and really all around the world that is bringing this broadcast to you today. If you would like to be a part of the Basic Gospel financial team, we would love to partner with you in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, telling that story as often as we can to as many people as we can. So join with us, and you can do so by going to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Click the donate button and just let us know that you want to be a financial partner. We'll be glad to welcome you into Basic Gospel Nation. Well, for the ministry team, this is Bob Christopher saying so long from Dallas, Texas.